The favor is this. I want you to brand something new on your heart in huge, bold print. What would that be? Short and simple. Ben Sterling loves me. Her eyes went shimmery and her mouth quivered. Okay, I'll do that. Ben stood and smiled down at her.
It's way past dinner time. We both need something to eat. And while we eat, I want you to tell me about some happy things you remember.
Okay. But first, I need my crutches. Ladies' room time. Ben did a quick count of the hours since he'd carried her upstairs and wanted to kick himself for asking only once if she needed to use the restroom. Then he glanced at the coffee table, which sported no glass of water. All it had supported for most of the day and evening was his ass. She'd gone for hours without emptying her bladder. Hello, that meant she hadn't consumed enough fluids.
Well, shit, he blurted. I'm a rotten nurse.
Chapter 17. For dinner, Sissy requested breakfast instead. Crisp bacon, eggs over easy, and sourdough toast. As Ben cooked, the delicious aroma of the frying bacon began to make him hungry, but he also felt nauseated. He realized that he'd fed his patient earlier, but not himself. While draining grease from the bacon onto paper towels, he cooked the eggs and made toast. He piled his plate with twice the amount of food he gave Sissy, and didn't know if he could eat. Her story had made him feel half sick. Euphoric again, Sissy petted Patches, laughed at his antics as he played, and flirted with Ben. He enjoyed the latter, but kept in mind that she was higher than a kite on happy syrup, and he didn't take her seriously. Now that she'd spilled her guts, she'd moved on as if she'd never told him anything. He was still stuck in her past. He propped her up with throw pillows this time so she could eat reclined on the sofa, her legs still elevated. Ben sat next to her on the coffee table. He forced himself to shove food in his mouth. Sissy took dainty bites and twice as long to clear her plate. After she ate, he tidied the kitchen and then walked beside her to the bedroom to tuck her in for the night. He briefly considered finding her a fresh nightgown, but then thought better of it. If he got Sissy half-naked and she came onto him, he might lose his self-control. After he'd gotten her situated on the bed with her leg elevated and the covers drawn over her, she looked up at him. In the golden glow coming from her bedside lamp, everything about her seemed to shimmer, especially her lush lips.
"Ben, will you kiss me goodnight?" she asked,
her voice huskier than usual and slightly tremulous. He managed a smile.
"Sweetheart, I really don't think that's a good idea. I'd rather wait until you're clear-headed."
"Please?"
The note of appeal in her tone made it difficult for him to refuse.
"Okay," he relented, "but only just once."
And Ben meant to keep it friendly and quick. Sissy had other plans. As his lips lightly grazed hers, she locked both arms around his neck, murmuring,
"Make love to me, Ben. I need you to hold me."
Oh, how Ben wished he could accept that invitation. But the doctor had warned that sex was not allowed until he gave the go-ahead. So instead, he slipped under the covers with her and gathered her into his arms.
"I can definitely deliver on holding you."
She tried to roll toward him.
"No," he said firmly. "The leg stays on the pillow and you stay flat on your back. Otherwise, you'll fall asleep on your side and not elevate all night."
She released a grumpy sigh but lay back, pillowing her head on his arm. Ben splayed the fingers of his right hand over her midriff. It took all his self-control not to explore her breasts and then journey lower.
"I love feeling your arms around me," she whispered. "It's like I found my own little corner of heaven."
He smiled against her hair.
"When you're off the happy syrup, maybe I'll show you some glimpses of how great heaven can be."
"Why can't you show me now?"
His grin deepened.
"The syrup masks your pain. I don't want you wiggling around or arching your back by pressing down on the pillow with your leg.
Why on earth would I arch my back?
Ben moved in closer. Just trust me on it. When you're sober, maybe you'll remember you shouldn't. Right now, I'm fairly certain you'd turn into a mattress gymnast.
She giggled and pressed her lips against his neck. That'd be dangerous. I might knock you out with my brace.
Ben's groin throbbed with need. He yearned to thrust his hardness deep into her feminine wetness and find release. Instead, he stroked her hip and kissed her hair until her body went limp and her breathing went shallow. When he felt certain she was asleep, he slipped cautiously from the bed so he wouldn't wake her. She'd plead with him to stay beside her. Ben wanted to do that, but he was afraid he might toss and turn during the night and accidentally jostle her leg. He crept into the living room to find Patches. He tiptoed back to the bedroom and placed the sleepy kitten on Sissy's pillow. Patches curled into a ball against her cheek. Ben gazed down at them, smiling. Then he went through the apartment, shutting off lights before he stretched out on the sofa. He used his coat for a pillow and the sofa throw as a blanket. Not the best situation, but he'd work on improving it tomorrow. Ben lay awake half the night. The sofa wasn't long enough to accommodate his height, and his stocking feet hung over the cushioned armrest. Moonlight, which was supposed to be a gentle illumination, glared through the window glass. The wall heaters kicked on to keep the temperature up, and then went off. When they were in off mode, their metal casings clicked as they cooled. When that stopped, he could hear a clock somewhere in the apartment ticking like a bomb. At one point, he also heard Snickers prancing over the keys of the electric piano. The one thing Ben didn't hear was a single sound from Sissy. He was so thankful for that. It meant that her happy syrup was working. Eventually, though, she'd wake up needing another dose. Only she never called out to him, and she was long overdue for more medication. At 4, he crept into her room to see if she was stirring or tossing her head, a sure sign of pain. Standing still and being so quiet, Ben nearly parted company with his skin when Sissy asked, "What is it? Is something wrong?"
"You're awake?"
"It happens when you sleep a lot during the day." Ben didn't recall her having slept that much, 3 hours at most.
"Would you like some fresh water? Do you need to use the restroom? Anything?"
"No, I'm fine for now."
"What's your pain level?"
In the dimness, he saw her push up on her elbows, taking care not to disturb the sleeping kitten. "I've decided that I'm not taking any more medication." Ben knew her pain level couldn't have dropped that much.
"Why on earth did you decide that? The syrup eases your pain."
She sighed and let her head fall back, both the sound and gesture indicating to him that she thought his IQ had to be near the bottom of the chart. "Glimpses of heaven. Remember? You said I have to be off the drugs before it can happen." Ben sat on the edge of the bed. He couldn't quite credit his ears.
"Sissy, that's crazy. You're in severe pain right now. You need the medication to lessen the discomfort. I'll still be here in a few days to give you glimpses of heaven."
"I don't want to wait." Ben had never been so touched, especially now that he'd heard the story of her life. She had every reason to never trust a man, and yet she had totally let down her guard with him. It was one of the most wonderful compliments he'd ever received.
"I don't want to wait either," he replied. "But over the next couple of days, your tibia will start to heal, and your pain level will drop considerably." "It isn't that long, honey."
An edge of crankiness rang in her voice when she said, "Easy for you to say. You've gotten more than glimpses of heaven. You've gone through the gates countless times." "Well, I haven't. I'd rather lie here in pain knowing I'll at least get some glimpses than lie here drugged and still aching inside."
"Aching inside?"
"Yes, aching inside." Her voice had risen. "My muscles down there are throbbing. I'm not stupid, Ben. My body wants sex."
and you won't even give me some appetizers because you're so damn determined to protect me.
Ben groaned. Bracing his elbows on his knees, he rested his head in his hands. From her point of view, everything she just said was absolutely true. He'd had sex with a number of women. Sissy was 26, and her only normal experiences with men had occurred just recently, with him. Therefore, as much as her young body yearned for physical satisfaction, she didn't comprehend how distanced from reality she might get during the throes of an orgasm.
"Have you ever, satisfied yourself in bed at night?"
He straightened to gaze at her through the moon-silvered gloom.
"You know, like, with your hand?"
"No." She reclined on her pillow again, jostling patches enough to make him emit a sleepy meow. "My only recourse is to eat Snickers bars, remember?"
He couldn't help but smile. Sissy, the Snickers bar addict. "Well, when a woman climaxes that way, she almost always lifts her hips towards whatever or whoever is stimulating her down there. Could you try, right now, to lift your hips without using your injured leg?"
She tried, using only her left foot, but the brace that reached nearly to her thigh on her right leg weighed her down. She finally gave up with a groan of disgust and went limp on the mattress.
"I hate you."
Ben squelched a chuckle.
"I want nothing more than to crawl into that bed with you and give you everything you want. But if I do, you'll run a high risk of putting pressure on your fractured tibia. Are you willing to risk snapping it out of alignment and ending up with bolts in your bone? It'll leave you with scars for the rest of your life, and even worse, the tibia may not heal as nicely, which might mean you'll limp. Just say the word, sissy. If you're willing to risk it, I'll climb in bed right now and give you everything you want. To hell with the doctor's orders."
"I'm not even sure what I want."
In the dimness, her eyes sparked fire at him.
"And that doesn't mean I'm so naive that I don't know anything about sex. When I was little, my father worked as a farmhand, and we lived in a little shack on the property. I saw pigs do it, horses, even cows. And I've watched sex scenes on television as well. Did you ever watch reruns of Star Trek, where they beamed themselves from one place to another?"
"Yes, of course."
"Well, that's my knowledge about sex. I know how it starts, and I know how it ends, but I'm hazy on all the stuff in between."
Ben took her hand and held it tight.
"Luckily, I know what happens in between."
She squeezed his fingers.
"I'll just bet you do. I don't really hate you. I'm sorry I said that."
"I know you don't. You're just frustrated, and I can't blame you."
She lay quiet for a moment.
"I'm frustrated with you, too. Before I got hurt, I asked you when we'd do it, and you said I wasn't ready. Well, I was. So this is all your fault."
"Guilty."
Ben wished now that he hadn't been so worried about going too fast with her.
"I'm sorry. I made a really bad call."
She sighed.
"Well, to be fair, you didn't know this was going to happen to me."
"True. And just for the record, if we made love that night, you'd still be frustrated right now. Once you experience all the fun stuff that happens between the beginning and the end, you'll want it all the time, if I do my job right."
Her shimmery gaze clung to his.
"You'll do it right. I can tell just by how you kiss me."
She sighed again.
"So how long do you think we need to wait before I can see glimpses of heaven?"
"I think I should ask your doctor."
Sissy gasped.
"We can't talk to him about that."
Ben bent over to give her a lingering kiss. When he lifted his head, he realized she had locked her arms around his neck.
"Sissy," he warned, "not until we talk to your doctor."
She released her hold on him.
"Oh God, how embarrassing. I won't be able to look him straight in the eye."
Ben couldn't help but laugh.
"He's a guy, I'm a guy. We'll do guy talk. He'll understand what I'm asking without me going into the details."
What if he says no?
Ben considered the question. I'll think of some way to keep your hips anchored to the bed. As a rancher, I have tie-down straps long enough to do the job.
I'm not about to be strapped down on the bed, she informed him. Just get me a dose of syrup. I may as well feel happy while I'm miserable.
After Ben had given Sissy her medication, he tried to find a more comfortable position on the couch. She lay only a few feet away, and knowing how badly she wanted to be with him made him yearn for her even more. Why did the idea of a tie-down strap ruffle her feathers? He had one in the bed of his truck that would work. It was clear to him that the only reason the doctor had ruled out sexual activity was because he knew Sissy might use her injured leg to lift her weight. God, how he wanted her. Did he live under a cursed star or something? She was so beautiful, and he was so in love with her. Wasn't it just his rotten luck that when she finally came around to wanting sex, he couldn't in good conscience accept the invitation? That was Ben's last thought as he escaped the grasping fingers of consciousness and plunged into the black void of sleep.
Ben, I need to go to the restroom and I can't find my crutches.
Ben jerked awake so fast he jackknifed to a sitting position and got a crick in his back. Holding a hand over the spot, he rolled to his feet.
I'm coming. Sorry.
He ran into Sissy's bedroom and spun to search the floor.
Other side of the bed, I think. They must have toppled off the mattress while we were cuddling.
Ben could tell by the tension in her voice that her pain medication had worn off. She sat on the edge of her bed, looking like a tousle-haired fairy with elephantiasis in one leg. He hurried to get the crutches for her, then thumped the capped ends on the floor, one on either side of her feet.
I'm right here, he said. If you start to fall, I'll catch you.
She braced the rubberized tip of each crutch at an angle and leaned forward so the shoulder rests lent her support to struggle up onto her one good leg.
Got it, she said as she positioned the walking aids firmly under her arms.
Then, with an agility that surprised him, she moved forward, wobbling slightly at the apex of her swing. Ben reached to steady her.
The doctor says I can do this without help if I'm not drugged. And hello, I am not drugged. My leg hurts so bad it feels like someone stabbed a knife through my bone.
She wobbled again and Ben almost grabbed her shoulder. But Sissy needed to do this by herself. At the beginning of their relationship, he hadn't understood her. Now, after hearing her life story, he finally did. Being able to take care of herself, succeeding in her business without help and being indebted to no one was more important to her than it was for many people. He needed to reprogram his brain and think before he rushed in to help her. At the bathroom door, she stopped to look up at him.
I really am going to be fine. You can leave and get some coffee on while I do all this. After I use the restroom, I'm going to find a fresh gown and then have a sponge bath. I'll take my medicine as soon as I'm done.
Ben wanted to rifle through her drawers to find her a nightgown. He wanted to stand beside her in the bathroom to steady her while she washed. Turning and walking out of the room was one of the hardest things he'd ever done. After getting a pot of coffee on, he started breakfast, a rerun of the meal he'd made the night before. Only this time he added fried cottage potatoes with caramelized onions. The wonderful smells flirted with his nostrils and made his stomach growl. He felt as if he'd dropped a good 10 pounds over the last few days from not eating often enough. As Sissy hobbled out on her crutches to sit at the table, looking adorable in a flannel gown with tiny roses on a white background, Ben had to remind himself that she was clear-headed and didn't need his help.
The coffee's ready, he said, and breakfast is nearly done.
She struggled with her crutches as she pulled out a chair. Then she sighed with relief as she sat down.
First, I need my happy syrup.
Ben hurried to pour her a measure. Her hand trembled as she took the cup. Taking a sponge bath and dressing by herself had taken a toll on her. Ben wished she had asked him for help. But on the other hand, seeing her half-naked might have obliterated all his self-control.
You've got orange juice and milk. Maybe a few sips will get the nasty taste out of your mouth and give you an energy boost.
Orange juice, I think.
Ben poured her a glass and then returned to the stove. Everything was done. He switched off the burners and put lids on the pans to keep the food warm. After taking a seat across from Sissy, he said,
I'm sorry, it hurts. If I could make it go away, I would.
The syrup works fast. It's already helping a little.
She tipped her head and studied him.
I think you'd take my place if you could.
Ben couldn't deny it.
Yeah, if I could.
Why do you love me so much?
It was a question that came at Ben from left field.
My mother always says that love just runs up and bites you. No rhyme or reason to it. But I don't really believe that.
He slowly trailed his gaze over Sissy's features.
This is going to sound self-centered. I've met a lot of women, nice ones, pretty ones, with great personalities. But I wasn't willing to change who I am to make it work with any of them.
Why would you have had to change?
Ben grinned.
That's one reason I love you, Sissy. You don't look at me as if I'm a work in progress. You don't see me as someone with the potential to be what you want.
Women have said that to you? I don't get it.
Ben heard Patches meow, and he went to get the kitten before it tried to jump off the bed. When he returned to the kitchen after setting Patches near his blanket and litter box, he resumed his seat.
That's one of the reasons I love you, Sissy told him. You care about my kitten. Not every man would.
Ben couldn't help but smile.
You nailed it. But some women don't like that about me. Well, they'd be glad if I liked their cats, but my world revolves around other animals, too, and all the filth that comes with them. I briefly dated one gal who trained her cat to use the toilet. A litter box was too gross for her. As soon as I learned that, I walked. My ranch is one huge litter box.
Your ranch is gorgeous, and so are all your animals. The horses are so beautiful.
Ben held up a finger.
That's another reason I love you. You didn't turn up your nose at all the things that define who I am. When I saw how much you care about your chickens, Finnegan, and even old Christopher, I knew you had a huge heart. When I saw how hard you worked, putting in long hours and rarely taking time off, I knew you were someone who might get who I am. That you'd understand when I couldn't be with you because I was babysitting a mare about to foal. That you'd get it when I got home covered in mud, hay, or whatever else. You have an extraordinary work ethic. Ranching is sometimes grueling and consuming, but I think you'd be okay with its demand on my time.
Ben ran a hand through his hair.
You didn't gag when you got horseshit all over your shoes. You weren't afraid to pet my orneriest cow. All very selfish reasons, when I look at them. But maybe all of us fall in love for selfish reasons. Real love and commitment is for life. How can you love or make a commitment to someone who doesn't like who you are?
Sissy nodded.
I don't think anyone should try to change who they are in order to make a relationship work. It'd be a relationship built on lies. We can pretend that we've changed, but eventually who we really are will come out. It's foolishness. It isn't selfish of you to want someone who likes you as you are. It's honest and smart.
He couldn't help but grin.
With you, I don't have to pretend.
Because I like you as you are.
I'll never wear chinos and loafers. If it's a casual, dressy affair, I'll throw a Western sports coat over my jeans and shirt. If it's a dress-up affair, I'll show up in a Western-cut suit with a matching Stetson.
And you'll look fabulous. The other men in regular suits will pale in comparison.
Well, thank you.
He got up to serve them each some breakfast. He set the plates on the table and fetched flatware. Then he poured some coffee and sat across from her again.
I can't explain every reason I fell for you, but I think we're perfect for each other, that we can blend together as individuals and be life partners.
Is there anything about me you'd like to change? She asked.
Not a single thing, he assured her. If you changed, you wouldn't be Sissy.
Our professions are worlds apart, she pointed out. I think your ranch is wonderful, but I love my cafe too much to ever be a partner who works at your side. I wouldn't mind helping you on my days off, though. Ben smiled.
If you ever hire help so you can take days off.
Oh, I'm going to. I'm stretched too thin and getting burned out. I really want to remodel, but if I work so hard to make it happen that I lose my love of cooking and waiting on my customers, what's the point?
That's why I hired Brett, and why I'm thinking about hiring another helper. I love ranching. I love the smells. I love working with the animals and feeding them and tending to them if they're hurt. But it's hard work. And when I was doing it all alone, I found myself resenting that I had to go feed sometimes, or grumbling because I had to go out in the rain. It was a warning sign that I needed some time off to relax and enjoy my life. And if I didn't make it happen, I might lose my love for ranching. Then where would I be? It definitely wouldn't be me.
Ben swallowed a piece of bacon.
As for you working at my side, I don't expect that or even want you to. Helping me, sometimes, sure. And in the reverse, I really enjoy helping you in the cafe. And for me, ending a long day at your cafe over a fabulous meal is perfect. I can continue to habitually eat out.
Sissy laughed and took a bite of potatoes.
Mmm, delicious.
After swallowing, she added, I enjoy it when you help me in the kitchen. An uncomfortable silence electrified the air between them. Ben finally asked,
So, have I satisfactorily explained why I love you?
She dimpled her cheek at him. For purely selfish reasons, and that works for me. You're saying that I suit you just as I am, and that's pretty awesome.
I forgot to add that you turned me on the first time I ever saw you,
Ben told her.
And you still do. Another purely selfish reason, I guess. But my dad would say, if you don't feel physical attraction, son, run like hell.
Sissy got a sip of coffee down the wrong pipe and coughed into her napkin. When she caught her breath, she said, He sounds like a very wise man.
He is. I think you'll like him.
Sissy pushed back her plate and sighed. I think I need to elevate my injury. I can feel my leg swelling. Ben shot up from his chair.
Shit, I forgot. The doctor said absolutely no sitting with your feet down.
It's okay, Ben. She got up and balanced on one foot as she maneuvered the crutches under her arms. But I think you'd better hang close while I go to the sofa. I'm feeling a little wobbly. Ben wanted to pick her up and carry her there, but he'd meant it when he told her that he didn't want her to change. As long as she could do it herself, he had to let her. Moments later, she lay on the couch with her leg elevated on pillows. Patches jumped up to snuggle under her chin. Ben returned to the kitchen to clean up the breakfast mess, wolfing down another plate of food as he worked.
You haven't asked me why I love you so much, Sissy called out.
Ben started the dishwasher and went to sit on the coffee table.
Okay, let me hear it.
She grinned and said, It won't take long. You're patient with me. You never push me to do something before I'm ready. You understand me when I don't understand myself. Her lashes fluttered closed. You never give up on me. Watching her drift to sleep, Ben thought,
And I never will.
Believing that Sissy was totally out of it, Ben got a startle when she suddenly opened her eyes and said, Just so you know, Ben, I won't be going into this with any expectations. No strings. I just want to be with you.
Ben didn't like the sound of that. No strings.
He'd finally found the woman he wanted to spend the rest of his life with, and she wanted sex without commitment. He decided to let that ride for the moment. Over time, if he proved to her how much he loved her, she'd change her mind about that. Chapter 18. Sissy awakened from her nap to hear Ben speaking on his cell phone. A few words snagged her attention and her eyes popped open. Levering up on an elbow, she leaned forward to hear.
From his side of the conversation, she deduced that he was talking to his mother and asking her to come stay with Sissy, while he walked up the street to Nuts and Bolts for some fine mesh steel wool to plug all the holes that Snickers used to enter the building. The moment Sissy felt sure he was off the phone, she said, "Ben, your mother doesn't have to come here to babysit me. She doesn't even know me. I'll behave. I promise. Don't bother her. Please." Ben gave an emphatic shake of his head. Sissy gulped. Why did he have to look so damned sexy all the time when he wasn't even trying? He leveled his gaze at her in that dead serious way of his.
"Well, ma'am, it's like this. You won't be on the pain reliever forever, probably only a few more days. But until you're off it, I'd rather follow the doctor's orders. The last thing you need is to fall while you're trying to reach the bathroom."
Sissy couldn't argue the point. She needed to heal with all possible speed. "You're right," she conceded. "But what on earth will your mom and I find to talk about while you're gone? I've never met her." Ben laughed.
"Trust me, you'll find plenty to chat about, if you can get a word in edgewise. My mom is a talker. One thing you should mention to her is all the trouble Drake Mullen is having. If he doesn't start getting some business, he'll go under."
Kate called in just under 30 minutes to let Ben know she was at the front door. As Ben hurried down the steep stairs, he vowed again to rip them out and start from scratch when Sissy renovated. When he opened the door, his mother beamed a smile at him. She looked like a model in a Western fashion catalog for older women. She wore a wine-colored sweater over a plaid Western shirt with touches of burgundy in the pattern. Her jeans were tucked into a pair of chestnut Uggs, the boots folded over at the top to showcase the fur lining. Ben was surprised. His mom usually wore riding boots.
"Hey, gorgeous."
Ben scooped her up in his arms and executed a half turn.
"New boots?"
"No, teasing me," she warned as he released her. "Your father hates them. He took one look and said, 'What the hell is on your feet?'" Ben drew her inside and closed the door. While locking it, he said,
"They look great to me. Perfect for snow."
"And great traction on ice. I fell a few winters ago and my hip bothered me for weeks." Ben dimly remembered his mother hobbling around.
"I didn't know you fell. I thought it was arthritis flaring up."
"Bite your tongue. I refuse to have arthritis yet. That's for old people." Grinning, Ben led the way upstairs to the landing.
"Sissy's a little worried that you two will have nothing to talk about."
Kate giggled. "Well, that just goes to show she hasn't gotten to know me yet." Ben was prepared to hang around until Sissy and Kate warmed up to each other. But within 3 minutes, Kate had Sissy chattering like a squirrel that had just found a cache of nuts. He excused himself to visit the hardware store, got 2 bags of steel wool, and used Sissy's flashlight to search for holes when he got back to the cauldron. He found far more than he expected. As he rounded the wall that divided the kitchen from the cafe, he stopped in his tracks. Snickers sat on his haunches near the cupboards. The rat had a small silver measuring spoon, which he held gingerly in his tiny paws. Ben couldn't help but smile.
"You must be getting used to me. You didn't bother to hide."
Snickers squeaked at him in reply. Ben knew the rat would quickly depart for his nest with his new prize, and Snickers didn't disappoint him. Whirling around, the rodent nosed open the right cupboard door beneath the sink and vanished. Ben hurried to the backyard, hoping to see where Snickers exited the building. The rat emerged from a crawl space ventilation hole in the ancient foundation, making a mental note to cover it with new wire and check all the other openings. Ben kept his gaze fixed on Snickers. This might be his only chance to follow the rodent back to his nest. The rat ran in a straight line for the shed in Marilyn Fears' backyard. Ben almost groaned. He opened the door and shone the flashlight inside. In the far left corner, he saw the nest, an impressive structure made of sticks and dry grass, and several rats scurrying to hide. Disheartened, Ben stared at the backside of Marilyn's building. She'd have to be told, and she would have to call pest control. That would break Sissy's heart. But this no longer involved only Sissy. Marilyn's building was probably being invaded. Ben circled around to Marilyn's storefront. When he walked in, she smiled and treated him to a flash of her merry blue eyes.
How is our Sissy doing?
Pretty well, considering. Mom is sitting with her while I do some chores.
If need be, I can sit with Sissy in the evenings.
Marilyn's gaze dropped to the two bags of steel wool tucked under Ben's arm.
You look like a man on a mission.
Condensing the story, Ben told Marilyn about Sissy's love affair with a pack rat and that Ben had just found the nest in Marilyn's shed.
I understand what you have to do, he told her. It'll break Sissy's heart, but eventually she'll get over it.
Marilyn's gaze shot back to the bags of wool.
You're plugging all the holes in her building, I see. Would you mind taking care of mine as well?
Ben mentally circled that.
If you call pest control, you really won't need your building to be rat-proofed.
Of course I will. Pack rats are a fact of life, so are other rodents. They can enter buildings if the owners don't take necessary precautions. I've been rather lazy about that.
But their nest is in your garden shed.
What nest?
She flashed another smile.
Nobody told me about any nest. Just warn everyone along this side of the street that pack rats have been seen.
Word will travel. If people have any brains, they'll make sure no rodents can enter their buildings. If they don't, it's their problem, not yours. She shrugged.
I can't call pest control. Sissy loves that rat, and a pest eradicator won't care.
Ben tried his best not to smile.
It's very generous of you to care so much about Sissy's feelings, but I'm not sure it's the wisest decision you could make.
Marilyn laughed.
I'm getting too old to make wise decisions. Nowadays, I live on the edge. Just rat-proof my building.
Won't you be afraid to go in your storage shed?
She laughed again.
I'm a country girl. Besides, when was the last time you heard a news story about a pack rat attack?
Another smile tugged at the corners of Ben's mouth.
Now that you mention it, I can't say I ever have.
Exactly.
Marilyn took a sip of bottled water. As she screwed the cap back on, she added,
I might get a little excited if you told me a female cougar with cubs had taken up residence in my shed, but I don't feel intimidated by anything I could step on, if I had to, that is. Besides, I love Sissy. In August, when I got sick, she took care of me. She brought me special breakfasts and made me soups. This is my chance to repay her for her kindness.
For the next 3 hours, Ben stuffed wool into every hole he could find in the two buildings. His thoughts kept circling back to the cafe. He needed to get the place open again ASAP. Otherwise, Sissy would deplete her savings, which he was positive wasn't a lot, and have to work forever for the planned remodel. He might not win any Chef of the Year awards, but maybe he could at least keep her customers coming in. After warning other shop owners along West Main that pack rats had been seen, Ben returned to the cauldron. At the top of the stairs, he heard Sissy and his mother talking. Kate was telling stories about Ben as a boy and singing his praises. He knew his mother, wondered what had already been blabbed, and felt his ears grow hot. Opening the door, Ben asked,
When do you plan to nominate me for sainthood, Mom?
Kate grimaced.
You aren't quite that perfect, but you're close to the mark.
Sissy, still on the couch elevating her leg, craned her neck to smile at him. In her eyes there was a soft glow he'd never seen, and he wondered if she was euphoric again. Kate collected her sweater.
I need to get the pot roast in the oven. I made sandwiches before I left, but Jeremiah will be starving by 6.
Kate bent to give Sissy a hug, then wrapped her arms around Ben's waist.
I'll be back tomorrow.
You don't have to do that, Sissy protested.
Don't be silly, Kate exclaimed. I can't remember the last time I've enjoyed myself so much.
After Kate left, Ben sat on the coffee table and dangled the watch he'd retrieved in front of Sissy's nose. She stared at it for a moment,
and then her face broke into a joyous smile.
"You found Snickers' nest!"
Ben told her about Snickers leading him straight to Marilyn's storage shed. Then he related the conversation he'd had with Marilyn.
"She says the nest can remain undisturbed. I warned everyone along the street. It'll be up to each shopkeeper to protect his building."
With a shrug, Ben added,
"Seems fair enough to me. Live and let live."
He suppressed a grin.
"That's Snickers. He is pretty damned cute."
Sissy sighed and relaxed against the pillows.
"Thank you, Ben. Most guys would rat Snickers out."
She winced.
"No pun intended."
Ben went to wash up. When he returned, Sissy patted the coffee table.
"Can we talk for a moment?"
Ben resumed his seat.
"Sure. What's up?"
She fiddled with the blanket that covered her to the waist. Then she nibbled her bottom lip.
"I'm just thinking, well, maybe a tie-down strap wouldn't be so bad."
Searching her blue eyes, Ben knew it wasn't only the medication talking for her. She truly was eager to be with him in an intimate way. His gaze dropped to her chest. Against the rose-patterned flannel, her nipples jutted like rivets, one of them making a tiny flower look three-dimensional. A certain part of Ben's anatomy went rock hard, and it took all his self-control not to carry her straight to the bedroom.
"I haven't talked with the doctor yet. We'll have to be very careful not to jar that bone."
She nodded. "I know. I can tell the brace is looser this afternoon. More of the swelling has gone down." Ben moved to the opposite end of the table and unfastened the boot. The nightgown, which he'd pushed out of his way, drifted sideways over the couch cushion to reveal her upper thigh. He schooled his gaze on the brace, refusing to torment himself with glimpses of flawless skin.
"Wow, the swelling has gone down."
He drew each strap tighter.
"I'm glad you said something. Your leg could have moved around in there too much."
Sissy sighed.
"Maybe when I get a regular cast?"
Ben met her gaze again, understanding that she was still wondering when they might glimpse small corners of heaven together.
"Actually, if all else fails, a tie-down strap works great for me."
Her brows lifted.
"Really? Then run right downstairs and get it."
Ben couldn't help it. He laughed.
"I think I've come up with a better plan."
"What is it?"
He leaned forward to kiss her.
"Let it be a surprise. And you have to remember one thing. What we do is going to be really tame. Nothing like the sex we'll have once the doctor gives us the go-ahead. I don't want you to be disappointed because it isn't romantic movie perfect."
"I'll be happy with less than perfect."
"First, I need to give Drake some business. I won't be gone that long."
A warm twinkle lighted her eyes.
"I'm craving Snickers bars like you wouldn't believe. Someone I know once suggested that when I get these cravings, I may be wanting something else. I'm beginning to believe he's right."
Ben chuckled.
"When I get back, I'll do my best to make sure you never crave another Snickers bar."
"That's a tall order."
"I'm just the man for the job. And if you still want a Snickers bar afterward, I can run next door and get you one."
Sissy grew nervous after Ben left. The flannel nightgown she was wearing wouldn't do, but she had no sexy lingerie. Panties were out of the question. None of hers would fit over her brace. A t-shirt wouldn't be very attractive, but it was all she had that was stretchy enough for him to have access to all parts of her. She didn't want to miss out on an experience because he couldn't uncover something. She was shaking as she sat on the bed to change.
"What am I doing?" she wondered. "This is nuts."
Then, "I'll feel better when Ben gets here. He always makes me feel safe. He knows just what to say. He touches me so gently. Why am I letting myself have a panic attack? Oh God, I need a shower, only I can't take one. I sponged off earlier, but that isn't the same as bathing. What if my armpits stink?"
What was taking him so long? She jumped as if she'd been stuck with a pin when she heard the apartment door open and close. The thump of Ben's boots hailed his arrival.
Sissy?
Voice quaking, she called. I'm in here. He appeared in the doorway, holding a bright orange strap in one hand and a white sack bearing the Pillminder logo in the other.
Just in case my plan doesn't work, I have a backup idea.
He took in her t-shirt. She felt pretty sure he noticed that she was shaking. She expected,
well, she wasn't sure what she expected, but it wasn't for him to ask, Sweetheart, what the hell do you think you're doing?
Well, I tried to find something to wear. She plucked at the t-shirt. I'm sorry, it's not sexy, but it's stretchy. And then I was just waiting for you. I'm sorry I look so awful, but I don't own one stitch of sexy lingerie.
Ben's shoulders slumped. He tossed his purchases on the bed behind her.
You don't need sexy lingerie. It doesn't matter what you're wearing, okay? Normally, whatever you put on will just come off. I want you. But for tonight, the t-shirt is a great choice. If my idea doesn't work and you start doing a hip dance, the strap is smooth nylon web. I had to look forever to find one that isn't rough on the edges. With the t-shirt, I don't have to worry about it abrading your skin.
Sissy's eyes had filled with tears.
So why did you yell at me?
I didn't yell. Okay, maybe I raised my voice. You're sitting with your feet down. How long have you been there?
Since you left.
He vanished and returned with her pillows.
Onto the bed. Get the pillow under your head. You're not allowed to sit with your feet down except to use the toilet. Otherwise, your leg is supposed to be above your heart.
Sissy pushed on the mattress with her hands to scoot backward and get her body fully on the bed. Ben gently lifted her leg and lowered it onto the pillows. Under his breath, he said,
I did not see that.
You didn't see what?
It's nothing. Never mind.
Sissy looked toward her toes, saw that her t-shirt was stretched over her thighs to ride high on her uplifted leg, and knew what he'd seen. Only, he didn't seem to think he'd just glimpsed heaven.
This isn't fun, she shot him an accusing look. You aren't being romantic.
Ben placed his hands on his hips.
Your leg comes first, romance second.
Then he rolled his eyes, tossed his Stetson onto her dresser, and bent his head.
I'm sorry. You're absolutely right. I'm not being romantic. It's just that right now your well-being comes first, and you shouldn't have kept your foot down for a half hour.
He raised his hands.
I suck at romantic when it comes to your injury.
He sat beside her at an angle so they could be face to face.
You're high on drugs, and you came in here to change clothes on crutches without anyone to catch you if you got dizzy. One of us needs to think about the possibility of you falling and injuring yourself.
Sissy hated that she had tears in her eyes.
Well, that's just fine. But right now I don't care about my leg. I just want the romance.
A muscle in Ben's cheek started to twitch.
I understand. I really do. But I need to check how tight your brace is, and I need to put ice on your leg for no less than 30 minutes. We can talk while we ice. You're due for another dose of happy syrup, and I'll have a glass of wine. How does that sound? Getting relaxed together before we do anything. That can be romantic.
Sissy folded her arms over her chest.
I knew the t-shirt was a bad choice.
Ben stared at the ceiling. In the light coming through her upstairs window, he looked too sexy to be legal.
It's not the t-shirt. Right now, I love you too much to think about that.
He gave her one of those direct, unwavering looks that told her he would have his way about this.
You will elevate for 30 minutes. You will endure icing your leg for an equal amount of time. If you argue with me, I'm tossing the strap and lubricant out the window, and you can just wait to glimpse bits of heaven until the doctor says you can. Got it?
Sissy's heart felt as if it were melting.
She had encountered men all her life who never cared about her. All they'd wanted was to use her. Ben already possessed her heart and was welcome to her body. But before he found pleasure with her, he wanted to be sure her leg was okay. He was so different from all the others, someone who actually loved her. "That is romantic," was all she could think to say. He looked at her as if she were not a member of his species.
"What?"
"It's romantic that you're willing to throw the strap out the window. It's romantic that you care about me more than you care about yourself." He studied her for a long moment. His expression was a blend of total bewilderment and frustration. Finally, he said,
"I don't get you, sissy, but I sure do love you. And your leg is a part of you. We're doing this against your doctor's orders. I have to be sure nothing we do jostles that bone. If you find that romantic, great, but to me, it's just practical. Do you understand?"
In that moment, Sissy believed she understood him even better than he understood himself. This wasn't about his needs and his desires. He was making it all about her. That meant the world to her. Nobody else had ever put her first. Ben was doing that. It was an incredible feeling to know that she was loved. It was even more incredible that he just proved to her, beyond any measure of doubt, that she could trust him. A starburst of warmth filled her chest. "So, let's relax together. While you sip a glass of wine and my happy juice starts working, we'll talk." He left the room and returned moments later with a bag of ice, her dosage cup filled with syrup, and a goblet half full of wine. She downed her pain medicine in one gulp. He pressed the ice around her brace. Then he sat beside her to sip his wine.
"I'm worried about the strap business," he said.
"Why?"
"A couple of reasons. The first being that I'm afraid it won't work. Anchoring your hips won't stop you from trying to push up."
"I'll just remind myself that I shouldn't." His gaze locked on her face, and a tender expression softened his rugged features.
"You have no idea, do you? When we do this, the last thing you'll be thinking about is your leg. In fact, you may not be thinking about much of anything. The French call the rush of physical pleasure during sex the little death. Everything around you can go black, and all you see is your partner, if you can even see that. It's like the whole world evaporates, and your reality focus shrinks to a pinpoint. It becomes only about feelings and needs that build within you until you climax."
"That sounds amazing."
"It is."
30 minutes is a long time," she told him. "Did you set the timer on your phone?" He laughed and drew the device from his pocket.
"Okay, all set."
"I hope you set it for 29 minutes, because I know we've already spent one talking."
"Can you feel the cold through your brace yet?"
"No."
"Then 30 minutes on the timer works."
While they waited for the timer to go off, Ben told funny snippets about his childhood. Before she heard his device jangle, he smiled and trailed his fingertip lightly along her cheekbone and then traced the shape of her ear. Bending over her, he settled his mouth over hers, tantalizing her with light flicks of his tongue until she opened for him. He thrust deeply into her mouth, using a rhythm he'd never used before, yet Sissy instinctively recognized it and responded in kind. Her heart started to pound. The broad canopy of his chest and shoulders sheltered and warmed her. She slid her arms around his neck, ran her fingers into his hair, and moaned as he trailed his lips to her throat to titillate her nerve endings by tickling her skin with his tongue.
"What?"
Sissy gulped to find her voice.
"What about the strap?"
"I told you, I have a better idea."
He reached toward the nightstand to turn off a jarring ringtone.
"And my timer just went off."
He tugged on the neckline of her oversized t-shirt to bare her breasts. Her nipples went instantly hard, and he lightly grazed each of them with his teeth,
making them even harder. Sissy felt electrified. When he drew one of her nipples into his mouth and teased it with his tongue, she cried out with pleasure. Then he treated her other breast to the same tender ministrations. She felt his hand, large and leathery, on her stomach as he pushed up her t-shirt. When her skin was bared, he moved down to taste it. Her whole body began to tingle with every touch of his mouth. "Ben," she whispered.
"Lie still. If I feel you arch your back, I'll stop."
"No, please, don't stop." He left no part of her torso unattended, and then he straddled her hips to kiss her fingertips, her palms, and then the sensitive flesh at the bend of her arms. The little death. Sissy had never felt like this. For her, nothing existed but the man above her. Then he moved lower, tossing aside the bag of ice before he shoved her elevation pillows under her hips and propped her injured leg on his left shoulder. Flashing a grin at her, he said, "You can push all you like with your other foot." Before she could collect her scattered thoughts, he began kissing her inner thigh. Sissy felt as if her nerve endings had become harp strings being plucked by a maestro. Her muscles twitched, her body quivered. And then she felt the moist heat of his mouth at her most private place. Shocked, she pushed up on her elbows. "Ben, that's..." He flicked his tongue, and jolts of sensation shot through her belly. "Ben?" All she could see were his shoulders and the top of his head.
"Sissy, just trust me."
The vibration of his voice against that super-sensitive part of her sent rivulets of pleasure streaming through her. She fell back on the bed. He began teasing her there with light flicks of his tongue.